My name is Morgan. I'll be doing the scripture reading this morning. We are in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Morgan. I like that one. It's pretty good. They don't always clap for the adults. The kids always get a clap, but the adults, it's kind of hit and miss. But hey, good morning. If you're a guest, let me just give you a little bit of a summary of where we've been. We're in the third week of our series called The Unseen Kingdom. And in the first week, we really wanted to prove the point that we are more unseen beings than we are seen beings, that we have a mind, we have a heart, we have a soul, we have an inner being, we have a spirit, we have all these things that are unseen. And so we processed through that and how Jesus really wants to get into the heart of the matter. It's not just about what you do, it's about the heart behind what you do. And the second week we talked about, though, that we do also want to get to a point where the things that are in our heart actually start to come out into our members. And so we talked about Colossians 3, about putting to death the old life and putting on the new self. And this week, we're going to talk about the third aspect of the Sermon on the Mount. 2 weeks ago, we processed through the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get back into it today. And as I was reading through it this week a lot, I sensed a theme that I never really sensed before in reading the Sermon on the Mount. And I got a preface today by saying, I could very well be missing it. And that's true every week, by the way. I could be missing it. But whenever I don't feel like there's been a lot of other sources that have kind of confirmed the themes and things that we've talked about, I just have to say from the jump, go check in yourself. Go interpret things. Go into the Word. Go dive in and hear about other people's interpretations and that sort of thing. And that's true every week, but especially this week. But as I was looking through this week, there were three themes that I saw throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and they're these. First, in Matthew 5, Jesus addresses the heart in us, unseen, as we talked about week 1. That's early on in Matthew chapter 5 in the sermon. And then he addresses what the heart change looks like practically in our seen lives, our action. But then third, in Matthew chapter 6, he wants to ensure that we have the correct motivation, which is about the unseen kingdom, not the seen realms. Now, Luke, if you'll keep that slide up there for a few minutes, I want to kind of digest this a little bit more. In the first week, we talked about the heart, right? We talked about that when Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, you've heard it said, do not murder, seen. But I tell you, if you have anger in your heart, unseen, then you've already sinned. So he's talking about get to the root of the matter, because if you can get rid of the anger, you're not going to murder people. And again, not murdering, that's a good rule. Let's not do that. However, if you can get rid of the source, the root of it, then it's not even a problem to address at that point. That's Jesus' point. Same thing when he talks about adultery. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you have lust in your heart, remember, adultery seen, and then the unseen is the lust inside the heart. That's what Jesus starts with. Foundationally start in the heart. Get to the root of the issue. Just like in Colossians 3, Paul says, set your hearts and your minds on things above. Before he ever talks about what you do, he says, set your hearts and your minds on things above. But then second, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks practically about what the heart change looks like. And he even brings these countercultural examples. In fact, he gives one example that you won't find in any other religion. He says, love your enemies. And I can't find another way of life or another religion that ever says, love your enemies, or even advises that, but Jesus commands that. Why? Because this is a radical new life that starts in the heart, and we get rid of anger, we get rid of lust, we get rid of hate, we get rid of fear, and instead we replace love, love of neighbor and love of enemies. Just like Paul says in Colossians 3, start to focus on the action, let the old life die, and live into the new life. So we got those two, and then he gets back into the unseen realms in Matthew chapter 6. He says, okay, it is important what you do, but actually just as important and maybe even more important is your motivation for doing the thing. See, it's the unseen heart ultimately focusing on the unseen kingdom. That's where we want to get to ultimately. We want to go from the unseen heart being changed and our body reflecting that heart change, and now everything we do is motivated by the kingdom of God, not the seen realm. See, in short, it's this. He wants us to have the right heart in our unseen realm, to do the right things in the seen realm for the right reasons, his unseen realm. All right, is that confusing or not? Where are we at on that? All right, does that make sense? So the theme in Matthew 5, the heart, and then the action, and then the motivation for the action. See, the place we ultimately want to get to is that we are motivated by the kingdom of God and seeing his kingdom in heaven here on earth as well. And you know, this is why it baffles me when people say they dismiss Christianity as if there's not high enough standards for the religion. I'm like, Jesus says here, it's not even just about what you do, because the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, man, they were all about the law and high standards for the law. But Jesus comes in and he says, I'm not going to lower the standard. In fact, it's still really important what you do, but also it's important your heart in the matter, and it's also important that you do the right thing with the right motivation. So important. So, let's talk motivation. Motivation is hard. You can't really see motive very often, can you? The what is a lot easier to see than the why. So, the question is, and I think all of us in here probably, to some degree, want to be motivated by the right things, want to be motivated by the kingdom of God. So, how do we combat poor motive? Well, let's read all about that third point in Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, so that was a lot of reading at one time. But I want you to sense this theme going on. He's talking about motivation for praying, right? Why do you pray? Do you pray for other people to see how holy you are and pray in front of people? Or do you pray because God sees you and you're talking to God and you want to connect with God? And when you fast, is it because you want to focus and reorient your hearts to him in the unseen realms? Or is it that you want other people to see your good works, that you're really doing something? Or when you give, is your motivation to just be generous because you just want to see good? You know, you just want to contribute to the kingdom of God being here on earth just like it is in heaven. Or do you want other people to see you as generous? These are the questions that Jesus is asking here. It's a matter of motivation, a matter of what drives us. And we ultimately want to get to the point where what drives us is totally his unseen kingdom. And this is hard because, again, it's difficult to see and know motivation. It's difficult to even see our own motivation sometimes. Take a second and just think about, what is your motivation for doing good? How much of it is that you want the unseen realms here on earth, just like it is in heaven? And how much of it is perception of other people? You know, I got to be honest, sometimes my motivation is not very good. I want people to think I'm a good Christian. I want people to think I'm a good pastor. I want people to think I really love Jesus. And consequently, sometimes that actually interferes of my ability to just solely focus on loving Jesus. And that's why I love how Jesus ties a bow on this section. He essentially says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Why? Because if you're focused in that unseen realm, then all these other motivations about the seen realm, perception and all that, they go away. Why? Because you're treasuring after what really matters, what's bigger than just the seen. Sometimes we can do the right things, but for the wrong reasons, with the wrong motivation. So the question then is, I hope you're asking, how do you treasure after the kingdom of God? Well, let's define it as best we can first. The kingdom of God, as Dallas Willard once said, it's the place where what God wants done is done. In the seen and in the unseen. We can't forget about that. It's not just what he wants done in terms of the right action. It's also what he wants done in terms of in our heart and our motivation. It's where what God wants done is done, whether it's what we want or not. So, to be motivated by the kingdom, we have to start eliminating other kinds of motivations in our lives. Well, how do we do that? Well, we start doing things that couldn't possibly pertain to other motivations. That's why Jesus says, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why? Because if you're motivated by perception, and people can't perceive you a certain way because it's in secret, now you have rid yourself of other motivations. It's things like giving to the needy. It's things like spending time with people who don't elevate our status. It's things like totally forgiving someone when you have nothing to gain from it. It's praying silently when no one else is around. It's going into your closet. It's spending time with him when nobody else can see it. It's eliminating all those other motivations at play and just focusing on the kingdom of God. It's things like reconciliation when you have complete moral high ground in the relationship. It's things like total and utter repentance that doesn't make excuses for your behavior. It doesn't blame other people. It just says, God, I come before you a sinner. And beat my chest and say, I'm not worthy, God, but thank you so much about your grace. That is being motivated by the kingdom of God, not other motivations. See, sometimes we can do the right things, but with improper motivation. So what we do is we aspire to get rid of all the other possible motivations and just focus in on the unseen. And sometimes, to be completely honest with you, sometimes I don't even focus on trying to be a good man. I focus on making you think that I'm a good man. And by the way, this isn't just confession time with Dallas, okay? We all can do this if we're not careful. That's why Jesus addresses this so explicitly. I mean, this is the greatest sermon ever given. And he spends an entire chapter almost talking about our motivation. Talking about the possible motivation of perception of other people, of the seen realm, or the kingdom of God being our motivation. Here's the thing. We cannot hide our heart or our motive from God. Got to realize that. Cannot hide our heart and our motive from God. This week, I watched a pretty intense debate. And oh man, I heard just it get pin drop whenever I said that just now. But no, it wasn't that one, all right? It wasn't that debate. And I'm not saying anything more about that one, all right? I love to go back in history on YouTube and look at like random historical events. And so I came across the 1984 first presidential debate between Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan. Look at Mark. He's like, what? Why would you do that? Because I would just geek out like that. So I'm watching this debate, and Ronald Reagan said something that really struck me after that. He said, I have instructed cabinet members that they are not to bring up any of the political ramifications that might surround an issue. I want to only hear arguments on the basis of whether something is good or bad for people, if it is morally right or not. And on that basis, and that basis alone, we make a decision on every issue. See, if we take him at face value, here's the tension, right? Is that cabinet members or he himself could potentially be motivated by the political ramifications, the seen realm. But then the tension is, as a Christian, he says, but I want to be motivated by seeing good. You know what I mean? I want to see God's kingdom here on earth. I want to see good. And so he's instructed his cabinet members. He says, look, that's all I really care about. Die to the idea that we need to survive politically and instead just do what is good. I want to ask that question again. What are you motivated by? Is it survival of your status or power or authority, or is it something so much bigger than just that? Because here's the thing. When you're motivated by the kingdom of God, there can be real cost there. And we've got to acknowledge that. There could be real cost. You might not appear to others in a favorable way all the time when you're motivated by the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're not trying to defend yourself. You're not trying to show people your good works. You're just diving in to the kingdom of God, and you don't care about perception. You could be taken out of context at times. You might have people never, ever even see your good works. You might get less likes on social media because you're not as concerned about people valuing and looking at you a certain way. You're more focused on how you can utilize that for the kingdom of God. You might not get that ego stroked quite so much because you're not showing people your good works. You're just focused on the kingdom of God at hand. And there can be real cost to that at times. But you don't care as much because you no longer care about the seen realm. You care more about your Father in heaven and the kingdom of God and the fact that He sees you. You start to treasure the kingdom of God and not our own little kingdoms. Now, I want to say that part again. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, your Father in heaven sees you. Now, think about that. I think sometimes we see that as a threat, but it's not like that. It's like He sees you, man. I mean, every one of us have needs that we need to be seen. Psychologists will tell you that. And people go through all kinds of different realms and all kinds of different ways to be seen, to try to prove themselves. We've got to recognize that God sees us. And if we recognize that He sees us, now we don't have to go through all these other seen realms and the perception and all the nonsense. Now, if we know that He sees us, that seen need is now met in us, and we don't have to worry about our own little kingdom or the seen world around us anymore. Why? Because that need has been met. If you've ever seen in the book of Genesis, Hagar, man, she's having a tough time. And she gets liberated whenever she sees the God who sees her. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that true? And psychologists will tell you that. Isn't that when you've been seen, that's when the soul can be liberated. And we have been seen by God. Man, we have a Father who fiercely loves us. We got to recognize that so that we don't go to all these other things, that we don't go to perception. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus says in this same sermon that our Father sees you and also says, don't worry about perception. Don't worry about what people think. Don't be motivated by all this other stuff. The question is our motive to be seen by others, or have we recognized that we've been seen by God? Thus, we're liberated from needing to be seen by others. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 7. Towards the end of his sermon, he says this. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, remember, fruit as in what the Spirit produces in our lives, not fruit as in outward fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now catch this theme from just this teaching right here. He talks initially about the inward, right? What's on the inside. And then he talks about fruit, as in what the Spirit produces in us. And then he says that those who were solely focused on the action and the performance will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, why does he say that? Because this group of people never tapped into the unseen realms to focus in on the heart and the motive. Man, to drive out demons, that's a good thing to do, I think. But what about if it's your motive for getting glory yourself? What if your motive is you're trying to prove yourself to a holy God that you can't possibly prove yourself to? That's the point Jesus wants to get us to. Focus in on the heart. Focus in on the motive, not just the seen realities. And here's the tension. I would say most people live their lives this way. And I know that's kind of hard to hear, but I do think because I love this church so much, I have to say that I think most people live their lives never even checking the heart of the matter, never even checking on the motive of the matter. And I just don't want us to get to a point where we hear the worst thing we could ever possibly hear, which is to say, away from me, I never knew you. Tap into the unseen life. Tap into the kingdom of God. What he's saying here in this sermon is, at the end of the day, let everything focus on the kingdom of God that is at hand among us, the unseen realms. So let me ask that question again. What are you motivated by? Is it like the Pharisees who, you know, they just stand on the street corner, they want everybody to see them praying or giving and blowing trumpets when they give? Or is it about our Father seeing us and living in the unseen realm? Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount saying, put these things into practice. I love that. Just that's how a good sermon should end, I think. Put these things into practice. What he says is, the one who puts these things into practice, they're like the man who built his house on rock. You know, the rain came, the wind blew, but it stood firm. Why? Because what was unseen was strong. And that's what we've got to contend with today. Is the unseen part of your life strong? And if it is, then that rain can come. That storm can come. And we can stand. Why? Because we practiced living in the kingdom of God, not our own little kingdoms. So let me ask that question again. Are you focused on the seen realms, the temporary, or are you focused on the eternal realms, the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We're just so thankful for who you are. Thank you, first and foremost, that you see us. Now, I hope that to inform some things here today. That you see us. It's not a threat. It's not a, you better get it right. It's a, you see us. Man, with tear-stained eyes, you empty the cupboard. You love us. You pour into us. You see us. Help that to liberate our souls today. Help that to begin to have us not focus on perception of others anymore, but to just dive into what you say about us. Father, make us a church that really dives into these themes of the unseen life so that you can inform some things and do your work in this community, in Jonesboro, just like it is in heaven. Father, that's our prayer. We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As need